Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And good Saturday morning. Welcome aboard for our two-hour journey into the great outdoors. Glad to have you tuning in. Some of the things we'll be talking about this morning. You know, our Louisiana Governor Jeff Landry is now in his second month in office and still hasn't filled a vacancy on the Wildlife and Fisheries Commission. We're looking for one more commissioner. Who would you like to see and why? You can text that answer to us with your fishing and hunting reports, your questions, your comments, 504-260-1870. And as we begin this long Mardi Gras weekend for folks at least in Louisiana and Alabama, how will you be spending it? Fishing? Hunting? Are you going to put the fishing pole down and go to parades? What are you going to be doing this weekend? Love to hear from you. Also, we've got the Pearl. In fact, I want to get to this right now. The Pearl River Wildlife Management Area. You know, we've still got the small game seasons open for rabbit and squirrel, and Pearl River Wildlife Management Area there near Slidell is a very popular place. Well, it was closed last week due to flooding. When the river hits a certain level, the Pearl River, it shuts down. They have reopened portions of it. If you're going to be going in there this morning or this weekend doing some small game hunting, Old Highway 11 and Indian Bayou Road are both open. Po'boy Road is closed past the upper end of Rolling Trail, and the Oil Well Road, which is very popular access, that is also closed. And the Pearl River Honey Island Shooting Range is going to remain closed until the roads that lead to it are open. So be aware of that if you're going to be heading into the Pearl River Wildlife Management Area this weekend. Also, we're going to hear from our usual suspects. I'm talking about our outdoor experts. They'll give up report.
All right, sorry for the intrusion. A little bit of a technical difficulty there. I think the squirrels got into our mechanics here this morning. Anyway, where I picked up where I left off, the CCA Star Tournament is going to be celebrating 30 years this year. And the chairman, Snoop Roth, who has done an outstanding job for 15 years, he's going to be hanging it up. We've got a new chairman coming in and a big change for some of the tournament rules. I'll talk about that, too. Also, in our second hour this morning, we say goodbye, a final goodbye, to one of the pioneers in the Gulf of Mexico fisheries research and documentation. And we'll fill you in on that. Plus, a coastal marine forecast from the National Weather Service looking like this morning. About a 30% chance of rain. I'm watching a really huge system. Extends all the way from Kentucky down through Tennessee, Arkansas, parts of Louisiana right now into Texas. It's very slowly moving to the, I guess you'd say, the northeast and to the east, and probably going to bring about a 30% chance of rain today, 50% tomorrow. Winds offshore, 10 to 18 today, lighting up a little bit tomorrow, 8 to 15. And then today on the interior lakes and bays, southeast wind 8 to 15. Tomorrow, southeast wind 6 to 12. Good tide range, 1.5 foot and a half. Lake temperature, Gulf temperatures are rising into the 60s now. And speaking of rising, Mississippi River's doing it. We'll talk to Ryan Lambert and find out how to adjust your fishing going from a 2 and 3 foot river to one that's going to be 10 and even greater. We'll be back to kick all of that off. We'll be checking in with Robbie Campo. He's at Shell Beach at Campo's Marina. He is next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, we head to St. Bernard Parish to Campo's Marina at Shell Beach and say good morning to Robbie Campo. Robbie, how's it looking this morning?
Well, so far so good. We got a light wind coming out of the south-southeast this morning, but 5 or 6 miles an hour. I tell you, Don, yesterday things really took a turn around for the better. You know, for the last couple of weeks here, we haven't had much of a fishing report, but it seemed like yesterday evening And it all has to do with water temperatures warming up, and water temperatures are doing just that. They're warming up, and fishing has turned on a little bit better than it has been for the last month, I would say. So, yeah, I mean, you know, yesterday we've seen a we've seen some trout being caught yesterday, and we've seen some, you know, well, of course, redfish were all, you know, pretty much happening, but. Even those guys got a little bit more spunk in them yesterday. So, you know, yesterday was a pretty good day of fishing up in that Biloxi Marsh area behind Stump Lagoon back there, going towards by Biloxi. They did pretty well in there yesterday. They caught some fish. Also in a Mr. Go here, going up the channel, going towards Violet. You know, nothing behind the rock dam. I thought they would catch some fish back there. They didn't do much back that way. But so it seems like the Biloxi Marsh has been a hot spot here. And I figured it would when water temperatures come up a little bit. I know there's fish back there. They just had to get the right conditions to catch them. So starting to see a few fish in Lake Barn here by the old fort. And today you're going to have that southeast wind to try that if you're going to anywhere on this eastern shoreline. So if it was me today and I was coming fishing with water temperatures coming up, especially if I had some live shrimp in a boat like we have in the tanks right now, I would start right here in the front by the old fort, and I would work my way down that eastern shoreline towards St. Malo. I think some fish are going to be caught there today around Yankees Reef there somewhere. I think today's going to be a good day.
Yeah, that sounds like a pretty good plan. I love that Yankees Reef when it's on, man. I can remember some trips there throwing some topwaters and catching some really nice trout, even though, you know, it's wintertime and it's tough. You know, our friend Glenn Sanchez, one of the things he says about February, he says, you know, the only good thing about February is the shortest month of the year. This is the time of the year where you got low tides, cold water, fronts moving through, wind blowing muddy and things up. And I got to tell you, Robbie, today is probably the best looking day. It warmed up pretty good yesterday, and I think we're going to see that again today and until those raindrops start coming in over the weekend. Looking forward to Mardi Gras Day. How big of a day is that for fishermen down there?
Well, you know, Don, it all depends. If the wife wants to go to the parade, most people go to the parade. But I tell you, you know, so this is the plan for Mardi Gras Day. Our back down ramps are going to be open. And, you know, we have a drop box here. But we're not going to be here. We're going to be closed Mardi Gras Day. The business will be, but the launch will be open. So if you want to come fishing on Mardi Gras Day and back in, you're more than welcome to do that. So, you know, feel free.
But if you want live shrimp, you're going to have to get them somewhere else. You won't be there to dish out the shrimp, right?
No, sir. Nobody's coming on Mardi Gras morning. No. That's a fact. No.
Well, anything else we need to know, Rob?
Hook the left at the bridge and come and see us. We still got live shrimp in the tanks, and, you know, all we need is people to come down here and get some and go fishing. So,
still got the food truck down there?
The food truck's here, but the food truck is they're going to start opening back up, I believe, next weekend. Because things been so slow, you know, around here, Don, so that they haven't been opening up on the weekends. They've been down here, and you know, a guy lives in Poplarville, Mississippi, so it wasn't worth the trip to come down here to sell $10 a food, you know, during the day with nobody down here. So, but I think I think it's next weekend they're going to start. Yeah, they're going to start opening up on, you know, during Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday again. I think it's next week. Yeah, so
got it.
They'll be back on track real soon here.
Yeah, that's real nice to have that service down there for sure.
Absolutely. Better believe it. I eat there all the time. I love it.
Yeah. Okay, Rob, thanks for the report. As always, have a happy Mardi Gras, and we'll catch up with you next week.
All right, Don. Talk to you later, buddy. Bye-bye.
There he goes, Robbie Campo. Campo's Marine in Shell Beach, a real institution. All right, we're looking for some text messages this morning. Got a few coming in. One of the things I'm asking, we have an open vacancy on our Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Commission. Now, these are appointed positions. They're unpaid, and they're appointed by the governor. We're waiting to fill the final spot. There's one open vacancy. And if you have a suggestion for Governor Landry to appoint, we'd love to hear from you this morning. Text it to me at 504-260-1870. Also, what's your plans for some people, a long Mardi Gras weekend? You've got all the way till Wednesday before you might have to go back to work. You're hunting, you're fishing, you're parading. What are you doing? We'd love to hear from you. We'll be back to do it right after this pause. You're listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. All right, welcome back in. Checking on our text message board. Let's see who we got listening in here this morning. We got the Mad Trucker is there. He's one of our regulars. This is Wingbone. He's having his coffee. He'll be working on those turkey calls. He listens to us over in Wilmer, Alabama. What a craftsman, boy. He makes a beautiful Wingbone turkey call, and fortunately he made one for me. I really appreciate that, Wingbone. All right, let's see. We have the Mad Trucker, we said. And let's see. We have Captain Ross L. Now, he works down there with Ryan Lambert at Cajun Fishing Adventures. His report is, even with the rain, the hot, cold, windy weather, the redfish were on. Give me a size, and we found them. Great fishing. Happy Mardi Gras. Well, glad to hear that, Captain Ross, because as a lot of you know, we've got reports that redfish populations are in trouble. They're looking to reduce their regulation, reduce the creel limit, and expand the slot limit on them, and we'll see. But I'm glad to hear that you found quite a few in all sizes. That's good news. All right, here we go. No fishing this weekend for 0313. He says he's been the same place for 35 years on St. Charles, so back there again. Going to see his happy Mardi Gras family. Well, good for you. Hope you enjoy it. And Lafitte LT, public service announcement. He says, if you're fishing down here in Lafitte today, you better get in before Highway 45 is shut down at 11 a.m. for our world-famous Rose Thorn Party, a parade. It'll open back up as soon as the parade passes through. So if you're going to get down there before 11. If you're coming back, make sure you wait until after the parade passes and the traffic clears before you come out of Lafitte. Thanks for that little update. We'd love to get those kind of messages. Helps out our other fishermen. And here's our listener in Ohio, Anola Expat here. And good to hear from you. Listening to us on the online radio box. All right, we have here's a vote for a commissioner. Again, the man that would do what's right for the environment, state, hunting, and fishing, Ryan Lambert. I agree with you on that. He would be a good choice. And here's one from 3751, says another vote, Captain Ryan Lambert. He wants to do it, and he knows to know. Or how about old man Dubuque? No, you're not going to get me on the commission. My job is to critique them and to report on them, not to be one of them. And here's one says, wow, nasty head cold you got there, my man. Yeah, I'm dealing with it. It comes and it'll be gone. It came and it went just like it does before. And we're hearing from our friend in Alabama, the Backstrap Stacker. He's been checking in with us all deer season. He says he's checking in from Mobile. Great weekend to do some Mardi Gras. Y'all have a good one. Stay safe, whether you're in the water or in the woods or on the parade route. Yeah, I don't know which one's more dangerous, being on the water, being in the woods, or on the parade route. Here's a suggestion for our Wildlife and Fisheries Commission. Please, when you all text in, put your first name at least so we'll know who we're talking to. This is Texter 5114 from the Lafayette area. It says, Mr. Roland Dugas, or Dugas, pronounced both ways, from Lafayette. He's living in Baton Rouge. All right, welcome back in. Checking on our text message board. Let's see who we got listening in here this morning. We got the Mad Trucker is there. He's one of our regulars. This is Wingbone. He's having his coffee. He'll be working on those turkey calls. He listens to us over in Wilmer, Alabama. What a craftsman, boy. He makes a beautiful Wingbone turkey call, and fortunately he made one for me. I really appreciate that, Wingbone. All right, let's see. We have the Mad Trucker, we said. And let's see. We have Captain Ross L. Now, he works down there with Ryan Lambert at Cajun Fishing Adventures. His report is, even with the rain, the hot, cold, windy weather, the redfish were on. Give me a size, and we found them. Great fishing. Happy Mardi Gras. I'm glad to hear that, Captain Ross, because as a lot of you know, we've got reports that redfish populations are in trouble. They're looking to reduce their regulation, reduce the creel limit, and expand the slot limit on them, and we'll see. But I'm glad to hear that you found quite a few in all sizes. That's good news. All right, here we go. No fishing this weekend for 0313. He says he's been the same place for 35 years on St. Charles, so back there again. Going to see his happy Mardi Gras family. Well, good for you. Hope you enjoy it. And Lafitte LT, public service announcement. He says if you're fishing down here in Lafitte today, you better get in before Highway 45 is shut down at 11 a.m. for our world-famous Rosethorn Party, a parade. It'll open back up as soon as the parade passes through. So if you're going to get down there before 11. If you're coming back, make sure you wait until after the parade passes and the traffic clears before you come out of Lafitte. Thanks for that little update. We'd love to get those kind of messages. Helps out our other fishermen. And here's our listener in Ohio, Nola Expat here. And good to hear from you. Listening to us on the online radio box. All right, we have here's a vote for a commissioner. Again, the man that would do what's right for the environment, state, hunting, and fishing, Ryan Lambert. I agree with you on that. He would be a good choice. And here's one from 3751, says another vote, Captain Ryan Lambert. He wants to do it, and he knows to know. Or how about old man Dubuque? No, you're not going to get me on the commission. My job is to critique them and to report on them, not to be one of them. And here's one that says, wow, nasty head cold you got there, my man. Yeah, I'm dealing with it. It comes and it'll be gone. It came and it went, just like it does before. And we're hearing from our friend in Alabama, the Backstrap Stacker. He's been checking in with us all deer season. He says he's checking in from Mobile. Great weekend to do some Mardi Gras. Y'all have a good one. Stay safe, whether you're in the water or in the woods or on the parade route. Yeah, I don't know which one's more dangerous, being on the water, being in the woods, or on the parade route. Here's a suggestion for our Wildlife and Fisheries Commission. Please, when you all text in, put your first name at least so we'll know who we're talking to. This is Texter 5114 from the Lafayette area. It says, Mr. Roland Dugas, pronounced both ways, from Lafayette. He's living in Baton Rouge. He's a great businessman and an avid outdoorsman. I have to check him out. Roland Dugas. Okay. If you've got one you'd like to suggest for the position of Wildlife and Fisheries Commission, text us, 504-260-1870. All right, got some announcements to make here with regard to the STAR Tournament. As I mentioned earlier, Snoop Roth, he's been the chairman, now not the director, but the chairman for the past 15 years, did a great job with leadership, and he is now hanging up his chairmanship. We've got a new one coming in. Stephen Babcock is taking over. He's the new chairman. And one of the things that was sent out to me on the information about it, this year's 2024 STAR Tournament, that there will be a catch photo in release. It says, in what might be the biggest change this year, and is a direct result of the changes in redfish slots and bull redfish rules, you will not return the redfish to the weigh station this year. You will catch the fish, take a photo or video of it, and finally release it. You'll see this new logo a lot this year, and there will be more details on this to come. They got a new logo and a new rule on the redfish. Now, I'm assuming that's the tagged redfish. You know, they tag 100 of them, and they award up to 10 prizes when they're recaptured with the tags in them. And it's always been you have to bring the fish and the tag into one of the weigh stations. And according to this release, it's going to be catch, photo, and release. I guess you got to get a good up-close photograph of the tag and maybe rate the number, or they're going to ask you to remove the tag, which could injure the fish. I'm not sure exactly how that's going to work, but we're going to be having the director, Sam Hopper, we're going to get him on the air and go over all the new rules and things that are changes with the STAR. 30 years. They're celebrating 30 years, and I think I've signed up for each and every one of them. Well, speaking of the STAR tournament and CCA, don't forget the, and I'm not sure if they sold all these yet, but the Mississippi chapter of the Coastal Conservation Association has a boat raffle going on. And I will be drawing the winner's name at the Biloxi Boat Show on Sunday, March 10th at 2 o'clock. So if you're going to be at the boat show in Biloxi at the Gulf Coast Coliseum, come stop by and see. I may be drawing your name. Now, how to get a ticket? There will only 2,000 tickets being sold at $50 each. They'll end it when those tickets are sold. I haven't got an update, so I'm assuming they still have some for sale. You can get these online and at all the CCA events as long as they're available. So, again, that's the Mississippi chapter of the Coastal Conservation Association. It's a really nice, it's a 2023 Tidewater Baymax, powered by a 200 horsepower, looks like a Yamaha, and a McLean tandem axle trail. It's worth $60,000. Only 2,000 tickets being sold, $50 a piece. So if you want to get in on that, we'll find out who the winner is Sunday, March 10th. I'll be at the Biloxi Boat Show. All right, we come back after this. I'm going to get to some more of your text messages. Got some more announcements. Also, we're going to be talking to, in a little bit, Carl Beyer. You may recall hearing that name. Carl was the man whose dog was lost in the marsh during those frigid night temperatures over in the Lake Catherine area. It had a happy ending. The dog was found. He's got some suggestions on how to not lose your dog in the marsh, and if you do, how do you get it recovered? We'll be back to talk to him, and also got lots of fishing reports coming up from Captain Mike Gallo, Darrell Carpenter, Brendan Bayard, and the man himself, Ryan Lambert. Stick around. We'll be back right after this pause on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network.
You know, we're talking about the drawing for CCA for the Tidewater Bay Boat. Speaking of contests and raffles, I want to remind you, Double D Meat Company, they're one of the processors of a lot of wild game. They do deer, hogs, exotics, just about anything you want to bring them. They are offering a sportsman's package raffle. Now, that includes a 308 Browning X-Bolt white gold medallion with a Leopold scope and a leather case. They're going to do this drawing on April 1st, so you've got some time. If you've got some wild game that you've harvested this season and you want to get it processed, they make some delicious sausage. They'll do all type of cuts for you. You can bring it to them. It's Double D in Bogalusa. And be sure you ask them to give you one of those raffle tickets, and there'll be a drawing held, and we'll announce the winner's name here. So good luck on that. All right, we'll be back to get to your text messages. Again, we're looking for a replacement, someone to fill in the void on the Wildlife and Fisheries Commission, the policy-making board that controls our wildlife and fisheries and our natural resources in Louisiana. Who would be a good choice? 504-260-1870. We're back to do that after we pause a quick 10 seconds for our local stations to identify themselves on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, let's get to the text message board. And let's see, this one says, good morning. A while back, I mentioned that I hadn't seen any apple snail eggs in the Man Shack area. Yesterday, I was on West Metairie and did not see any egg clusters along that canal as well. Hopefully, they may be disappearing. That is really good news. Now, for those of you not familiar with the Metairie area, there's a roadway that extends pretty much across Metairie, and it's got a canal in the middle, and those canals lead to the pumping station as part of the drainage program there. And that canal, on every pole, every culvert, you see these pink apple snail egg sacs. I mean, thousands of them. And I've noticed them for years now, in that there haven't been any there. That is good news. Maybe they're finally disappearing there. He hasn't seen any in the Man Shack area. I know that salt water kills them, but I don't think there'd be a whole lot of salt in the West Metairie Canal. But possibly the salt water intrusion really moved forward east and north because of the low river. So I don't know, maybe it got a little brackish there in the Man Shack area, and maybe that did them too. Give me, if you have been seeing apple snails, are you seeing less of them, none of them? Are they gone, or are you still seeing them? Honey Island Swamp, Pearl River area has also been infested with them, and I know down in Houma, I think that's where they were probably the worst. Anyway, give me a report, 504-260-1870. All right, here's a vote for Commissioner, I guess this is from George, wanting to nominate Ron Patterson. He knows a lot about the outdoors. Ron Patterson, known as Rojo to some of us, is the past president, founder of the Dixie Ranch Wildlife Management Club in Lacombe. And I believe Ronnie would be an excellent choice. You talk about a guy with a lot of common sense, a lot of knowledge about a variety of fishing and hunting. And I think his his vision for the preservation, conservation, and management of wildlife and fisheries in the state would be excellent. He'd be a great choice, but I don't know if he's being considered. All right, here's another one. Says the only thing. Oh, this is from no name. It's 1927 is the text number, and says the only thing biting down here in Lockport is some yellow catfish, aka the goujon, and I'll catch a few before the parade this morning. That's from Don, or maybe he's talking to Don. Maybe we got two Dons. Anyway, I'll take some yellow catfish, the goujon. Good eating there. All right, here's another one. This is from the Big Bassin, Big Man Bassin. He says, no fishing today. He's riding in the Endymion Parade this evening. Wow. He's on float 20C. Make a note of that if you're going to Endymion and holler at the Big Man Bassin, float 20C Endymion Parade. All right, here's one from Old Man Sam. He's got a nomination for our Wildlife and Fishery Commission spot that's open. David Kincaid of Hebert, Caldwell Parish, Louisiana. He is a rig manager for Trinidad Drilling, most common sense sportsman I know. Okay, there's another name to be considered. Hopefully within this week, at least before the next commission meeting, that position will be filled. That Wildlife and Fisheries Commission is a very, very important position. They basically set policy for the management of all the wildlife and fish in this state. It's an unpaid job. It's an appointed job. Most of them are put there for 6 years. There's one of those positions that runs concurrent with the governor. As long as the governor's in, they're in. And it's up to the governor to select the people who qualify. If you got one you'd like to suggest, 504-260-1870. Here's one that says, I know Rojo very well. He would be an excellent candidate. He doesn't know a stranger. That's true. And the backstrap stacker is riding in the MOTs tonight in Mobile, float number 11. Look for the backstrap stacker. All right, we come back after this. We're going to talk to Carl Beyer. Carl had a very shocking experience this past duck season. His very good hunting buddy, his favorite hunting buddy, Abby, his black lab, became lost in the marsh. Spent two nights in the marsh. A lot of people were concerned. A lot of people responded, and there was a huge search. And Abby was finally rescued. We'll get his story on preventing that from happening to you. And if it does, how do you get back to find your dog? We'll find out from Carl. Tell his story right after this pause on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. All right, if you have a hunting dog, whether it be a bird dog, a retriever, even beagles or deer hounds, which are rare these days, have you ever lost one of them? If you have, if they've been missing, you know the feeling, the panic and the concern about what happened to that dog. Well, Carl Beyer joins us now, and he experienced that this past duck season when his precious hunting buddy, Abby, was missing in the marsh for two nights, some freezing temperatures. Carl, good morning, and if you would, tell us the story of Abby, how she went missing and how she was found and what advice you might have to prevent it from happening in the first place. And if it does, how do you go about recovering your dog?
Hey, Don, how you doing this morning? First of all, I would love to thank everybody that came out and helped. We had thermal drones, everything out there, airboats. You know, everybody put in a heartfelt, the community that, you don't realize that is there is unbelievable. So that's, first of all, so I want to do that. But how she got lost is I got up in the morning. I'm in a wheelchair now, so I've got a lot of problems with arthritis, and it was one of those bad mornings. I went to get up and almost fell over. So I didn't want to get in the boat. So my friend David and Larry took the boat to go duck hunting. It was lower water. So he's David's run dogs all his life, just like me, and he's hunted with Abby. So I let him take the dog. And they had a great hunt. They shot a limited teal. They shot the last bird down. It just kind of angled off back of the boat. She saw it, splashed. Everything was great. They thought it was a dead duck. They sent her. And I think the biggest mistake, and we all kind of discussed it, is that last, you know, the dog's going on that last bird. You know she's got it. And you start packing up all your stuff. So you're not watching and paying attention to what's happening with the dog. All of a sudden, next thing you know, you go, where's the dog? You know, they didn't come back with the duck. So either it was a cripple or, you know, but you weren't paying attention. I think that's the biggest thing is to you know, make sure that last retrieve comes in. that's one of the things. If you were, you know, watching the dog, you might have been able to, you know, see that something was going on or hear what was going on. So I think that's probably the first and foremost is always pay attention to the dog until you know what's happening.
So what are the steps to go out and look for the dog once you discovered it's gone, it's missing, we have no idea where the dog is?
Yeah, this has happened to me before with my old dog, Danny, who's no longer with us, but it was a windy, high water day. She went out on that last retrieve. I did the same thing myself. And about 2 hours later, we found her. She was back on the side of a canal, but we searched everywhere. And it's just like that marsh is so difficult that, you know, the dog can just disappear within a heartbeat. You can only access so much by boat. And, you know, it's just one of those things. But I would say possibly stick it out before you go looking, stick it out, you know, try and shoot your gun different directions, blow the whistle, that kind of thing. One of the things that was suggested also is, if you have a collar on a dog, you know, e-collar or whatever it is, and the dog is missing somewhere, before you leave, maybe turn that e-collar all the way up and get that dog to yelp or bark. You know, they'll yelp if you turn it up high enough, and then you can actually have maybe a location of where to look for the dog. That was something that we never did or never thought of. So, you know, while everything's good and you're right there and still kind of in the box of where that dog might be, you can get a direction possibly to go look. I think that would be the best suggestion, you know, to start it out with. But one of the mistakes I think I made was, I called, you know, some people and all stuff that, and Larry and David were out there. They didn't want to tell me the dog was gone, so they were looking, and, you know, an hour later, I'm calling them going like, hey, guys, you in trouble out there or what? And so they, you know, finally told me. So I came out, and we started looking. But so I was, while they were inside the island, I was kind of circling the island with my other boat. And I think one of the things is I never stopped enough. I was looking for the dog, convinced she'd be out on a shoreline somewhere. But she seemed to find a dry spot interior from, you know, what the end was. So I never stopped enough to, like, go a certain distance and then stop and listen. You know, maybe try and do some calling or whistling or shoot the gun, you know, whatever you need to do. Also, I think one of the things, and we've had this happen in the woods, shoot the gun away from the island or away from where you think the dog might be in. Sometimes if you shoot it directly at him, there's like an echo effect or something. When we found a dog, we had that she moved away from us versus coming back towards us. I don't understand what exactly goes on, but we've had that happen in the woods before. And, you know, the other thing is we had people out there looking, and my friend Corey, he was, you know, up walking around there, and he thought he heard a faint bark, and he did not want to, you know, put my hopes up because he didn't know if it was there or not either. But that's one of the things is don't ever give up. went through right. The freeze, everything else.
Yeah, it was in the temperature was in the teens, and it wasn't looking good. Carl, we got to take a break here. Stay with me. When we come back, I want you to finish up the story of how Abby, I'm calling her Danny. I've heard it with
you. No problem.
We'll find out how she was finally rejoined with you. We're talking with Carl Beyer about losing dogs, how to prevent it. We'll be right back to continue that conversation. Has it ever happened to you? 504-260-1870. Text me your story. We'll be back right after this. All right, if you're just now joining us, we're talking with Carl Beyer. If you haven't heard the story, Carl, unfortunately, his dog Abby, his black lab retriever, got lost in the Lake Catherine area. A couple of hunting buddies who were familiar with working with the dog took her out, had a great hunt going on, and on the last retrieve, Abby disappears. And from there, the search begins. People start going out looking. We had a mutual friend and dog lover who offered a $2,000 cash reward for the return of Danny. The whole community was concerned. People were out in boats looking from the air, looking from the sea, going out in the marsh. Carl spent days out there looking for Abby. Everyone was concerned. It was scary because the temperatures dropped down into the teens those nights. Carl, pick it up from there and tell us the happy ending to the story of how Abby was recovered.
Well, we, you know, just on the off chance, we went out one more time, and Mike, who was running the thermal drone, came out with us, and a friend and a mutual lease, not mutual lease, but not his lease, but a mutual friend, Jared, he was out there looking around also in between hunting, and when we went out there, he came over to us, and he said, man, I keep hearing a dog barking somewhere, so we were trying to locate her, and so we came back around to try and run the drone over that area. And look, and I heard a dog bark, and now I got a location. So that evening, we you know, figured out where she was, and we tried to get her come back, and it seemed like she, you know, got away. It got completely pitch black. You know, it just didn't happen that night. So went back home. Nobody else was available the next morning. So I put my gear on, wheeled the wheelchair onto the boat, and went out there the next morning. It was miserable, spitting rain, ugly, windy, you know, all that junk. So I tried one spot where I thought she went to, no response. And I came around the corner and stopped the boat, and I heard a bark in there, and proceeded to, like I said, tried to shoot the shotgun downwind and whistle crosswind or whatever. And the barking got louder. So I pushed the boat all the way up into the mud to the edge of the shore, and this little black face pops out, you know, one of those big mud flats pops out of the grass, and that was about the happiest moment you could have. So,
what do you think was happier? Were you or she happier, both of you?
I don't know. We were both pretty pretty excited to be back in connection there. Big old. Fortunately, I didn't fall off the front of the boat, but I helped her up onto the boat, and we had a big old wet, muddy reunion, so life was good again. So took her into the vet. Everything was absolutely fine, just a little bit of wet foot dermatitis, no problems whatsoever, no frostbite, no anything. She only lost a pound or two, and so just rehydrated her and refed her slowly throughout the day, you know, according to the vet and what I knew anyways. And, you know, just she was happy as a clam. So, the other thing I did now is I've got a GPS collar, and I researched a lot of that stuff. A lot of these little GPS tracker things or whatever, most of them only last like 20 hours, as well as the collar. But the collar, I have just a handheld, has a little screen on it. It's a pretty simple one, just direction of the dog, how far. And I'm starting to train with that, with the tone as a comeback. And it's working around the yard here. She tends to wander a little bit over to the neighbors and that kind of stuff. So I've been bumping her back with that, and she's happy to come back. So just trying to, you know, work on some different responses so you can keep track of the dog. But that'll be great for hunting. But those things only last like 20 hours usually, the collar and all that stuff. But at least you're going to know where the dog is and what's happening at this point, which is
You may not need it for full 20 hours because you basically know where the dog is. And I've got one of those for my dog. Now, somebody, Jeff just texted me, and he said something about putting an Apple tag on the collar. They're trackable by your phone. I don't know what the range on those things. I'm not familiar with those things. Are you?
Yeah, they've got several of them. I think there's Track Dog and that kind of stuff. Some of them last, some of them last 20 days. So you could actually put one of those on also. Problem is, do you have phone signal out there? And is it, you know, there's some spots that are not so good with it and everything. So that's what one of the concerns I had with that. And, they have all kinds of different options. Like you could get one of those ones where you box in an area around your hunt and the dog gets that beep or that buzz or whatever to come back in from there or something like that. But, you know, do you have access to a phone in all the places you go and all that stuff like that? That was one of the concerns with that. But I'm just trying to keep it simple, and hopefully this never happens again. But in 50 years of hunting dogs now, and you know what I've done. I've been all over the country and everything. We've lost them for an hour or two somewhere, either woodcock or this or that or whatever. But, boy, 3 days is not fun at all. So
I understand. Well, thanks. It was a happy ending, and we're all thankful for that. And again, you know, one of the things we didn't talk about is maybe leaving something with your scent. Dogs are very scent conscious.
Oh, yes. I forgot. Yeah, I forgot that. I took her, whatever you call it, the pad that it sits in the back of the truck, so it's, you know, definitely smells like dog. I put that out there with fresh water, food, everything. That never got touched. So it was just not in the right position for her to either smell it or whatever. But, you know, we just couldn't access, you know, exactly where we try to put it back where, you know, basically where we hunted with the blind, but it just, you know, it was not
No matter how well trained, dogs will be dogs sometimes. And mm-hmm. I'm glad it was a happy ending. And thanks for sharing that experience with us, Carl. Maybe it'll help it from happening to someone else. Really appreciate
Absolutely.
It.
And once again, I want to thank everybody. And what a great community out there. It's just unbelievable. So if I probably flopped over the boat, they just go, you know. But, you know, dogs.
All right. Thanks, Carl. We'll be back with hour number two right after this.